chop it up, chop it up. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud. All right, welcome in, guys. Farzin Vasugian here with you for another episode of the Chiefs Zone Podcast. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you're all having a great Monday. I believe a lot of you guys, at least in the Midwest and the KC area, just coming back from spring break. So hope you all had an awesome spring break. Obviously, the Chiefs had some news during the spring break that a lot of people had in and around Kansas City. Some of you guys might be on spring break right now. And if you are, I appreciate you taking time to listen to the podcast, whether it's live or on the archive version. Appreciate all of you guys tuning in to this episode of the Chiefs Zone. Fairly short show today. Not a whole lot to get into, and I will say this. This is actually going to be the last podcast we will do for 2 weeks. So the podcast is going to go on break for a couple of weeks. I'll mention that at the end of the podcast as well for those who may be tuning in a little later, because we only have a few listeners right now just starting off. But we will also not have a Red Friday live chat for a couple of weeks. Now, if any breaking news comes up for the next 2 weeks, I will definitely do a live stream in the... whenever there's breaking news. So just something to be aware of if you're wondering, hey, where's the podcast? Where are the Red Friday live chats? Got to take a break from those. And I'll do a couple of breaks throughout the off season. But for now, no podcast, no Red Friday live chat for 2 weeks. Until then, if any breaking news comes up, I'll do a short live stream, hop on, talk about it, and we'll go on from there. This podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best place to go for your ticket needs. If you guys want to go to Royals baseball games, that's coming up very soon. In fact, we'll be talking about Royals later on today with the stadium vote and whatnot. If you want to get ready for Chiefs football, we'll learn about the schedule later in the offseason. NCAA tournament going on right now. Hockey, basketball going on as well. SeatGeek is the place to go. You see a green dot next to those ticket prices, that means you're paying a good price for those tickets. If you see a red dot, that means you're paying too much. So avoid those prices at all costs. But if you want to save $20 and you're a first-time customer from SeatGeek, put in my promo code Farzin and you will save $20 off your first purchase from SeatGeek. Yes, go to SeatGeek.com. Enter the promo code Farzin if you're a first-time customer, and you will save $20 off your first purchase from SeatGeek. A lot of things to get into here on the podcast. Well, I should say a lot, but going to be a fairly short show. Hollywood Brown, officially a Kansas City Chief, and he had a couple of comments that I think you're going to like when you hear his comments. And I think his comments are going to, not that this wasn't confirmed before, but it's really going to solidify the fact that the Chiefs have a winning culture in Kansas City. I do want to get into the April 2nd vote in terms of the future for the Chiefs and the Royals and where they will play. As a matter of a fact, the Chiefs are actually threatening to leave Kansas City if this vote does not go in their favor. That is something that definitely needs to be talked about. In fact, that's actually getting talked about a little bit nationally as well. Would the Chiefs truly leave Kansas City? And we'll discuss a couple of other things that may come up throughout the podcast as well. Jim's asking, what's the latest on L'Jarius Sneed? Please tell me he's staying a Chief. We have no idea, Jim. There are a lot of rumors. Oh, mind you, rumors that... the trade talks between the Chiefs and the Colts seem to be heating up. Again, these are just plain rumors. We do not have any strong indication that something has been offered or that the Chiefs are ready to send him to another team. The word on the street is that the Chiefs have a very high asking price for L'Jarius Sneed. And quite honestly, I like to hear that. I know a lot of teams are not going to give up a first-round pick for a quarterback, and I can understand that, especially if you have a high, like if you're, let's just say you're in the top half of the NFL draft in the first round. Do you really want to give up a first-round pick for a cornerback? Yes, L'Jarius Sneed is a great cornerback. That's not the question here, but do you win championships? Do you win football games by giving up a first-round pick for a good cornerback? Someone who should have been an all-pro this year.
I'm just not exactly sure. Like, if the Chiefs have a high asking price, what's the demand here? Because I don't think you're getting a top 15 pick for him, a top 16, top half pick for him. You're not going to get 2 second round picks either. You might get a second and a day three pick, maybe like a second and a four or a second and a five. That's what I think the Chiefs might get for L'Jarius Sneed. Now, the Chiefs do have the salary to pay him this year. They didn't spend a whole lot on Hollywood Brown. In fact, let me see if Over the Cap has updated the Chiefs' cap space. They have not. It is still sitting at $15.2 million. What gives here? I have no idea. Yeah, that's interesting that he has not... Hollywood Brown's not on Over the Cap yet. Well, he signed today, so maybe give it 24 hours and we might see an updated team cap space number there. Right now it's at $15.2 million, okay? So right now the Chiefs are just a little over $8 million if you include the Hollywood Brown signing. So maybe they can sweeten the pot a little bit and pay L'Jarius Sneed $20, $21 million this season. Maybe have the price be a little lower for the next 2-3 seasons, however many years you can keep him for. But at the moment right now, we have no certainty whatsoever as to what's going to happen to L'Jarius Sneed. Yeah, I know that's a huge one. If the Chiefs can keep L'Jarius Sneed, you essentially brought back your entire defense. And the only loss you have there is Willie Gay. And as much as I like Willie Gay, and I know a lot of Chiefs fans love him, I think Leo Chenault will do just fine filling in for Willie Gay and taking a lot of his snaps for 2024. I've got no problems with that whatsoever. So I hope the Chiefs find a way to keep Sneed. I will say this, if you do keep L'Jarius Sneed and give him a 3-4 year extension, I do start to get a little concerned about Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, because you just paid Chris Jones a shit ton of money, not for this year, but for the next 4 years. And kind of makes me wonder, can you keep both Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith for the future? Because there were a couple of offensive guards, interior offensive linemen, who got paid a lot of money. And I think Trey Smith is going to want to demand more than those guys, and he's in position to do that. So we'll see what the Chiefs do on that front right there. Speaking of players and making some big moves out there, the Chiefs, of course, made it official today. Hollywood Brown officially a Kansas City Chief. Obviously, we're very excited about that. Yes. Hollywood Brown on his way, already in Kansas City. In fact, he got the tour at Arrowhead, the locker room, the stadium, all of that. So they do have Hollywood Brown in Kansas City, got the tour, all of that. So he made a couple of comments today in his introductory press conference on online through Zoom, I believe, is what the Chiefs used. And he said some things that definitely, I think, made a lot of people feel pretty good about the signing. The first thing he mentioned is that he plans to be in Texas and meeting up with Patrick Mahomes in the next couple of days, this week, in fact, and they can start working together. As you guys recall, Patrick Mahomes did rally some of the pass catchers last offseason in Texas, and in addition to working with his own teammates, he was also working out with some of the incoming prospects at wide receiver and tight end. So obviously Patrick Mahomes is going to do that again. I know he did that with Zay Flowers last year. Kind of funny how that all worked out. Rashee Rice worked out with him as well a little bit in the offseason last year as he was prepping for the draft. So I'm sure Hollywood Brown will be taking part in some of that as well. And Travis Kelce, getting all of those guys, Rice, together, certainly should be a lot of fun to see. I'm excited to see normally I don't get excited for OTA highlights and training camp highlights, because you guys, if you guys have listened to me long enough, you guys know that those are things at the end of the day, I'm just like, I don't care about highlights in practice. It's practice. But I really want to see how Hollywood Brown gels with Patrick Mahomes. They'll probably have some mishaps to start off. That's why they're trying to get together before OTAs so they can get some things down with timing and location and whatnot, where Patrick Mahomes needs to have the football, where Hollywood Brown needs to expect the football whenever Mahomes throws it in certain routes and all of that. All of those things are going to be figured out this offseason, so that's good to see. NFL Next Gen Stats put out a really cool statistic pointing out all of the, and I'm trying to pull it up here, all of the players that have had top speed runs in the last few years. And the Chiefs have had several of those players going at top speed. Tyreek Hill, obviously, by so the exact stat is most 20 plus mile per hour routes since 2020. Tyreek Hill has 73 of those. No one even comes close to Tyreek Hill. Number two is Hollywood Brown. He's had 33 of them. So obviously not at the same level as Tyreek Hill, but still pretty damn fast. Number three, Brandon Cooks. He's at 31 receptions where he has gone at least 20 plus miles per hour on his routes. And then number four, another former Chief, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He's at 28 of those. And then Jalen Waddle, also for the Miami Dolphins, he's at 26 of those. So those are your top five: Tyreek Hill, Marquise Brown, Brandon Cooks, MVS, and Jalen Waddle. So obviously the signing is up Kansas City's alley. This is perfect for Mahomes because having these types of speedsters is what the Chiefs need. It's what Patrick Mahomes needs. This is what they need to try to improve the offense after some of the struggles that this offense went through last year. And I think that for Patrick Mahomes, he's kind of used to this because he's had MVS and Tyreek Hill. I know last year, and by the way, another reason why I'm not a big fan of OTA highlights and all of that, training camp highlights, because all last year in training camp, we heard so much about how the Chiefs, Mahomes and MVS, they have a lot of things down and they look like they're in midseason form. Well, how did all of that pan out? You know the story there. Yeah, it led to a Super Bowl win. MVS did have a touchdown in the Super Bowl. But again, overall body of work, we know it wasn't where it needed to be, or at least where we thought it would be. With this addition of Hollywood Brown here, Mahomes, the reason I bring up the MVS one, at least Mahomes already is pretty damn used to working with speedsters like Tyreek Hill, like MVS. So when Hollywood Brown comes in here and starts working out with Patrick Mahomes, it's going to feel pretty good. And yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be excited about that highlight reel, even though it's just practice. So I think at the end of the day, this whole situation with him working out with Mahomes and trying to get things down before OTAs and before training camp, it's going to feel pretty damn good. And I'm excited to see what happens with this whole situation as the season unfolds. Another thing Hollywood Brown said in the introductory press conference that I think a lot of people are going to like to hear. I already posted this on social media. A lot of Chiefs fans were going crazy about this. He was asked about when the Chiefs were interested in him, and he made it pretty clear that the Chiefs were pretty aggressive in trying to acquire him compared to some of the other teams that were interested in Hollywood Brown. So here's a quote. Hollywood Brown says, "Of course, I could go get some money at other places, but at the end of the day, it's about winning. It's about what I want. I felt like everything just worked out at the end, out of the way it should. And then he continues on and says, "I'm happy with the decision. I'm happy with where I'm at. At the end of the day, I'm a kid that comes from nothing. The amount of money I've made so far in my life is a blessing to me. God continues to bless me going forward. I'm a football player. I want to play football. I want to win. That's why I'm here." Well, that matches exactly what you said. I mean, you got the contract, all of that. It's a pretty cheap price. $7 million deal, could be up to $11 million with incentives. And listen, I love Chris Jones, and I'm glad the Chiefs kept him, but he just broke the record for highest paid defensive tackle in NFL history. And then in his press conference, he says, no amount of money could make me lose my love for the game. Okay, I don't know. I'm not so sure I'm sold on that part. I remember Roger Clemens. I think it was with the Astros at the time or the Yankees. I can't remember which team, but he held out for quite some time during spring training. And when he finally did sign his deal, spoke to reporters, he said it wasn't about the money. Really? Because you got a lot of money and you were holding out until you got what you were asking for. So I hate when athletes say it's not about the money when we know it is. But then when you see a guy like Hollywood Brown take a cheap deal and say up front, it's not about the money, I want to win. You love that. You absolutely love that if you're a Chiefs fan. And this should already remind you of what Travis Kelce said last offseason. Remember, I mean, Travis Kelce was in so many magazine covers in the last 12 months. He was on the cover of Vanity Fair right before training camp. The issue had came out. And then when they do these photo shoots, they also give an interview with the publication. And Travis Kelce told them that Tyreek Hill went and made 2 to 3 times more elsewhere. And his agent even seems to push the idea that Travis can make more money from the Chiefs. But Travis has said he's not interested in getting more money from the Chiefs. He wants to have a legacy. He wants to win. And that's exactly what's happening in Kansas City. So, yeah, you do have Chris Jones that hit the bank. You do have L'Jarius Sneed that wants to hit the bank. But then you have guys like Hollywood Brown that has not been able to win anywhere else, but he comes to Kansas City. This is his best situation that he's ever been a part of. And no offense to Baltimore, they do win a lot, but that is not a team that's conducive to having a long postseason run. They just aren't built that way. Lamar Jackson's what, like 2-4 in the playoffs? For a team that's had the number one seed twice, it's not good. For a team that's had the MVP twice, not good. Then you go to Arizona, not really the prettiest of situations there with Kyler Murray and so many different quarterbacks. I understand he was injured at one point, but he just felt the need to get out of there. So then he's in Kansas City. He has Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback. This is the best situation that Hollywood Brown has been a part of in his NFL career so far. I mean, look, and again, is Hollywood Brown going to be with the Chiefs in 2025? Who knows? I hope so. We were kind of hoping that with Juju, who signed a 1-year deal with the Chiefs, but then he moved on with the Patriots. So to me, I think this this whole situation with the Chiefs, when you hear that they're willing to play for less money. And obviously, Patrick's done his part in trying to help the team with the cap space redo his deal multiple times. You have a winning culture in Kansas City right now, okay? If you want to make a lot of money, I mean, I know the Chiefs just paid Chris Jones, and maybe they'll also pay a lot of money to L'Jarius Sneed. But in general, I mean, those are guys they drafted outside of the first round and want to keep for a long time. And now it looks like Chris Jones is going to end up finishing his career in Kansas City. We'll see what happens with L'Jarius Sneed and his deal. But the Chiefs aren't in a position, even if they wanted to go out there and grab a big name free agent and give him the highest paid contract at his position. They just can't do that right now, nor are they willing to. That's not something Brett Veach does a whole lot of. So it's always been interesting to me because, yeah, I know all the players want money. That's what, listen. Why do you think a lot of young boys today want to play in the NFL or in the NBA? Well, they get a lot of money. They can have big houses. They can have cars, plural houses, cars, all of that good stuff. You can also take care of your family for life. If you're very smart financially, you find ways to invest. You find endorsement deals. If Patrick Mahomes never played a snap of football ever again, hypothetically speaking, hopefully not the case, he is set for life. If Travis Kelce never played a down of football ever again, he is set for life. By the way, I want to say something here because I know a lot of people are saying, well, Kelce's girlfriend is a billionaire. Okay. Listen, I mean, their personal relationship, those kinds of things, is no one's business. But I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I don't recall her money belonging to Travis. I mean, listen, I'm sure they've done things for each other. I'm sure Travis Kelce has, you know, spent some money on suites for Taylor, her friends, her family to come out to games. And I'm sure Taylor has allowed Travis to use her private jet to get around and whatnot. But Travis Kelce has already been taking less money for quite some time now. This has nothing to do with his connection to Taylor Swift. This is all before that. People say this about Tom Brady. Oh, Tom Brady took less money because his wife at the time, before their divorce, Giselle, her net worth is 2-3 times more than Tom's. Well, no, that's actually not the case. In fact, Scott Pioli has actually said this before. Scott Pioli, of course, a former Chiefs general manager, previously was with the New England Patriots organization, part of their front office. And Scott Pioli said this on SiriusXM NFL Radio that Brady was willing to take less money even before meeting Giselle. So all of the, Tom Brady, the things that he's done, you're seeing Travis Kelce do, and you're seeing Mahomes do a little bit of that as well, where you're willing to take less money for the betterment of the football team, which is awesome to see. Patrick Mahomes, he's redone his deal a couple of times. The Chiefs have asked a couple of other players to do the same thing as well, and they've been willing to step up and do so. There was a comment earlier. It was from Jacob, who says restructure some contracts. Yeah, but they have to be willing to agree to it. Like Juwan Taylor, his first year with the Chiefs this past season, didn't make a lot of money. In his second year and third year, he's going to be making, I think, $24 million each, more than $24 million. There's no way in hell he's going to redo his deal and say no to that because he's waiting for that big fat paycheck this year. Yeah, don't get me wrong, $7-8 million, whatever it was last year, that's still a shit ton of money. But by NFL standards, when you compare that to what he's getting in 2024 and 2025, he's going to be getting a lot of money then. Listen, the Chiefs are going to be in a salary cap bind in 2025. There is no question about it whatsoever. So whoever they have, hopefully they can keep them for as long as possible, because you're not going to be able to make a lot of moves in free agency in the coming years. And you know what? If the Chiefs find a way to three-peat, then you know what? So what if they can't get anyone for a couple of years and the salary cap puts them in position where they're not able to win a Super Bowl for a few years? Tom Brady went 10 years. In between his third and fourth Super Bowl win for different reasons, but he had a drought is what I'm trying to say. So Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, their drought is probably coming up in the next couple of years, regardless what happens in 2024. I think they're going to three-peat. I think they're on their way. The offense is already looking better right now than it did back in September and October. And this team still found a way to win a Super Bowl, by the way. Remember that? I posted this morning the graphic that was put up by CBS during one of the Chiefs games, mentioning how the Chiefs lead the NFL in drops by a wide margin. This team still won the Super Bowl. Like, that's the part that's so crazy to me about this Chiefs team this year, is that they had the drop issues. The turnover issues were also a big deal. They had to go on the road. Remember that? Patrick Mahomes has never won a road playoff game. Oh, no, folks. Yeah, just simple garbage media making a big deal out of really nothing, trying to make it seem like it's the end of the world for Patrick Mahomes because he's never played a road game in the playoffs, which I thought was comical. And obviously, Patrick Mahomes easily buried that narrative with ease. So that was good to see. So, you know, and by the way, this is not the first time the Chiefs have had to overcome some of these obstacles here, okay? Remember the adversity they went through in 2021, the 1-2 start, and then the 3-4 start, and Mahomes was leading the NFL in the interceptions, and they found a way to get over that. No, that season didn't end very well in the AFC title game. And by the way, that does lead me to my next point with the Chiefs, is that, you know, yeah, you had a heartbreaking AFC Championship loss to the Patriots, and another one a couple of years later to the Bengals, and a very disappointing performance in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady and the Bucs in Super Bowl 55. But you know what, man? When you consider everything in general, they've made the AFC title game 6 years in a row, every single season with Patrick Mahomes as your starting quarterback. And of those 6 times, you've won the Super Bowl 3 times. So your record is what? 4-2 in AFC title games, 3-1 in the Super Bowls. Shit, man. I know there are a lot of franchises that would beg to have that kind of success right now. Look at the Detroit Lions. They're a team that's finally a contender. Look at the Bengals. They've been a contender for a couple of years now. I know they dealt with some injuries, overpaying players and whatnot. The Buffalo Bills, they've been a contender for a couple of years now, though people think their window's closing. What do all three of those teams have in common, by the way? They've never won one single Super Bowl. Never. Not once. So you know damn well that they would cherish one Super Bowl, one Lombardi trophy inside their own stadiums. So the fact that the Chiefs have been to three in 5 years, and I think at the end of the day, they just want to get this three-peat. Do they want to win the championship every year? Yes. But we all know realistically, it's not going to last. The streak is not going to go on forever. But if they do three-peat and they don't win a Super Bowl for a couple of more years and the AFC title game appearance streak gets snapped, so be it. A three-peat and then winning four in the span of 6 years, that is unheard of. Tom Brady did not accomplish that in New England. So that that is something that you know, you're hoping can get done. Yes, Robert, brown rice. That is the duo we never knew we needed. Brown, step aside, Patrick Mahomes. You're no longer the MVP. We've got co-MVPs now. That co-MVP, that duo is now called brown rice. Yeah, brown rice. I'm looking forward to it. I actually have a, you know what, since Robert, you already, I made this little graphic here, so that'll be going up fairly soon. Brown rice. Brown rice is going to be a thing in Kansas City. I'm really looking forward to it. Jacob is asking a really good question. What team in the division is good enough to beat us? There is no competition in the AFC West right now. There really isn't. I mean, yeah, sure. The Chiefs lost twice, one to the Broncos and one to the Raiders. So what? Like, yeah, the Raiders were flexing their muscles over the Christmas Day win. And then when the Chiefs got to play a playoff game in the Raiders stadium before the Raiders could, I think Raiders fans got pretty quiet about that Christmas Day win. They realized that's no longer a flex. And when the Chiefs won a playoff game, a Super Bowl inside the Raiders stadium, I mean, what Raiders fan has bragged about that Christmas Day win since then? I mean, you might have like three idiots that are so blind homers that that's the only thing they get. I'll tell you right now, that regular season win, that is their Super Bowl. The Broncos, who are in shambles right now with their salary situation and their quarterback, who knows who that's going to be, them beating the Chiefs for the first time since 2015, that is their Super Bowl. So when you look at the AFC West right now, and I think the Chargers, I don't know what the Chargers are going to do. I mean, they're still in cap space hell at the moment. I mean, they've had to get rid of some players to make room for their salary cap. And I kind of feel bad for Justin Herbert because he seems like a good guy. I think he's a good quarterback. He's got to work on some things. But, man, I don't know what kind of help Justin Herbert's going to get in L.A. this year. Unless you have like 10, 12 draft picks, good luck, man, because you're not doing much in free agency if you're L.A. This is not a really good situation to be in. And by the way, I know what people are going to say, the non-Chiefs fans. Oh, the Chiefs are in an easy division. Tom Brady thrived taking advantage of being in an easy division. The year he got injured, 2008, and then the 2 years after that where the Jets were really, really good. There was a span of 3 years where the Patriots were not the shit in that division. It was the Jets and the Dolphins for a little bit. That's it. So, ultimately, you know, Tom Brady, during his 18 years with New England, skated by a very easy division. Now, it wasn't just him winning divisions. He obviously won six Super Bowls. You see Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, he's taking advantage of a weak AFC West, but still finding ways to win. And by the way, let's not forget, what was it, two off seasons ago, where everyone thought the AFC West was ready to have this gauntlet and challenge the Chiefs, and the Chiefs would be one of the worst teams in the division, and it ended up being the complete opposite. So, stop in for a lack of effort. The Broncos went out there, got Russell Wilson, traded the house almost to get Russell Wilson. The Raiders, getting Devontae Adams and a couple of other players to try to improve their football team. The Chargers bulking that defense. None of that worked. None of that. I love it, man. I love when people hype up the rest of the AFC West in hopes that they can knock off the Chiefs off their pedestal, and didn't work. Yeah, I mean, you had a couple of AFC West teams beat the Chiefs this year. So what? The Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Anyway, one other thing. The point I'm trying to say is that the Chiefs, at the end of the day, I mean, this is a winning organization. There is a winning culture at Arrowhead right now. I know with the NFLPA report card and the grades, not looking too pretty, but you know what? They're finding ways to win. And that's ultimately what matters at the end of the day. You have a winning culture. You have players taking less money so they can win championships. Remember all those people who pushed back on the idea that players would not be willing to take less money to stay or to come to Kansas City? That crowd is pretty silent right now. Pretty damn silent. I'm sure we'll hear from those people when the Chiefs lose once in a while, because that, again, is their Super Bowl. That's their regular season Super Bowl parade they're going to have. The Chiefs are going to have their parade next February, and hopefully it'll be much safer. Everyone has a good time and whatnot, because obviously we know what happened this year. But man, you got a lot to look forward to if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan. Your defense, almost all of it still intact. If you can keep Legarius Sneed, that's huge. After that, man, it's like all you really have is your left tackle and some wide receiver depth, and you can easily do that through the draft and with second, third tier free agents. Certainly very easy to do. Okay, I want to get into this Jackson County vote that's going to happen in exactly 15 days. That is actually what the next time where I will do a podcast is April the 2nd. So for those of you who aren't familiar exactly with the situation, I'm sure everyone's aware to some extent what's going on. So the Royals, they have put out a lot of different ideas in terms of where they might have their stadium. They've considered North Kansas City. They've flirted with the idea of leaving Jackson County and looking at other parts of the metro area. But they have a new plan, and they revealed the rendering for this a couple of weeks ago. And the Royals are 2 feet in on the idea of pretty much moving their stadium downtown. In fact, it's going to be just south of the highway, very close to the T-Mobile Center, essentially where the Crossroads area starts from the north side of it. That's what the Royals want to do. And then the Chiefs, they want to stay put where they are at the Truman Sports Complex. And they want to renovate the stadium and make some upgrades that I don't really know if they're really major upgrades. They want Kauffman Stadium to be replaced with an activity zone. That actually is a cool idea. I do not push back on the idea of the activity zone. I think it's going to look nice. In fact, if you had a roof, I think that kind of thing is very conducive to hosting Super Bowls in the future. But you don't have that right now. And they're not going to bring a Super Bowl to this damn cold Midwest weather in February. They're just not. I know they did it for New York. That was a one-time deal. Then the other upgrades, there's a spot for rideshare, and then they want to upgrade the video boards. I mean, if you can tell, these upgrades do not sound very exciting. And then what's the next big thing? They want to have like a little suite area on the bottom level behind the end zones. I don't know if it's both end zones or just one end zone. I mean, they're kind of trying to copy the Raiders stadium where they have the Wynn club level suite. I'm not really sure like what's so exciting about that. It's very expensive. I mean, you're essentially just paying to sit on a much more comfortable space to watch football from behind the end zone. I mean, I'd rather just watch it at home, spend some money on food, and maybe even have a party for a game, whatever it is. Because I think in the Super Bowl, those seats went for like $700,000 per table, I believe. So I don't know. I'm not really excited about these upgrades. Oh, another upgrade they want to do, they have multiple VIP entrances. What is this for? For Taylor Swift and maybe her her friends that are all VIP people. Because I don't give a shit about VIP entrances. I mean, I'm not VIP. A lot of you guys are not VIP. I don't think any of you guys are VIP. Not saying you guys are irrelevant. I love all you guys. But, I mean, if we're talking VIP entrances, that's probably for big-name celebrities. Like, I mean, obviously, like the big slick guys. Rob Riggle, Paul Rudd, David Koechner, Eric Stonestreet, those guys. Taylor Swift, of course. And then the family members. Other than that, who else is going to use that VIP entrance? I'm not, maybe stadium personnel, employees, ownership, like that's it. Those are the only people that will probably be able to use that. So I don't really know why we need multiple VIP entrances to the stadium. That's a very odd upgrade to me. The video boards look just fine to me. I was at Arrowhead this past season for the home opener, and it looked just fine. I don't see anything wrong with the video boards. I remember they upgraded them about 14, 15 years ago. And I thought those, they definitely had to upgrade them at the time. Going from the old school look, the text and whatnot, the graphics. And now you got high definition video boards. I think they're fine the way they are. I don't know why we need to upgrade the video boards. They do need to upgrade the sound system. They got a pretty shitty sound system, if I'm being completely honest. But in general, I mean, I just don't know, like, what are you trying to upgrade here? I don't really know if these upgrade. And by the way, what do the Hunt family want? They want a $500 million from Jackson County taxpayers. They're willing to put down $300 million. So in total, these renovations are going to cost approximately $800 million. I don't know. For all of these things I just mentioned, the activity zone, which I like, the ride share area, the VIP entrances, the video boards, the fancy area behind one of the end zones or maybe both of the end zones. I don't know if any of that is worth $800,000 or $800 million to me. That's just me. If I'm a Jackson County resident, I'm voting hell no for this one. That's just me. Because I don't know exactly why the money is going to that. Now, what happens if Jackson County taxpayers vote no for question one on April 2nd? The Chiefs are actually threatening to leave Kansas City. In an interview with Channel 41, the NBC affiliate in Kansas City, Mark Donovan, the president of the Chiefs, was talking to a reporter, and the reporter asked, you know, if you guys don't get this in your favor, what happens here? And he says, you know, we're willing to stay with these upgrades, but if not, we have to explore other ideas. And the reporter asked, would those other ideas include leaving Kansas City, Missouri? And Mark Donovan responded and said, we would have to consider that. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Are you going to go to St. Louis? I don't know, the Rams Dome, is that still there? I think it is. You want that stadium? Because I've heard a lot of bad things about the parking structure there. It's not even conducive for tailgating. So you'd lose that there. You want to go to Wichita? I mean, you might get a lot of... there will be a strong amount of Chiefs fans there that'll support the team. But in Wichita, of all places, no offense to Wichita. I love all you listeners from Wichita. I appreciate you guys. But I just don't know if Wichita is a spot for it. Now, would they consider going somewhere else in the Kansas City area? Maybe. But I just don't know at the end of the day what would work. The Legends area is the only thing I can think of. But I just don't know where exactly you would want to put the team in the new stadium. I will say this. So if you guys are familiar with Overland Park, about, I think it's 159th and Antioch. I should know this because I went to high school right there. So for those of you who live in that area, you guys might be familiar with Blue Valley West High School. That is where I went to high school. If you guys look across the street from Blue Valley West High School, you have a lot of things over there. You have a hospital. I think it's Advent Health Hospital over there. You have Constantino's, a big grocery store in that area. You have Five Guys. You have a Whataburger. You have Andy's Ice Cream. You have Casey Cookie Company. Starbucks, I think is in that area. There's a Panera Bread, Jersey Mike's, Red Door Grill. My point is that area when I was in high school was blank. It was just a bunch of open land with nothing there. The reason I bring that up is because when the Wizards, which eventually rebranded and became Sporting Kansas City, the Wizards were looking for a place to have their stadium because they did not want to share with the Chiefs anymore. And that area in Overland Park was an area that they were considering. Now, ultimately, they decided to land in Kansas City, Kansas, in the Legends area, and I think that's the perfect spot for them. I've yet to go to a Sporting KC game. I really do want to check out that stadium. Every year, I tell myself, this is the year I'm going to check out the stadium, and I always fail to do so. I need to change that one of these days. I actually had tickets, but it was on the same night KU was in the Final Four, and it started raining, and I had no interest whatsoever attending a soccer game in the torrential downpour there. Unfortunately, KU got their ass kicked in that basketball game, but nonetheless, to me, I just don't know. Like, you really want to threaten your fans and say, hey, you don't give us what we want here. You don't approve of these upgrades. We'll leave. Bull fucking shit, you're leaving. Everybody hates the Chiefs. Damn near everyone hates the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs' lease ends in 2030, I believe. So that's, you know, still 6-7 years away. I don't know, 2030 or 2031. One of those years. We don't know how good the Chiefs will be in 7 years. We really don't know. We hope that Patrick Mahomes and whoever is still on this team at the time, they can still, you know, help bring this team a lot of victories and whatnot. Hopefully Super Bowl wins as well. We don't know what's going to happen in 7 years. Patrick Mahomes is still expected to be a part of the team, but I mean, I'm just throwing a random city out there. Let's just say San Antonio, Texas, which is a pretty big city, does not have an NFL team. If you move the Chiefs to San Antonio, and if the Chiefs continue to have the success they have, you damn well can bet that everybody in San Antonio will go from hating on the Chiefs to loving them, especially because Mahomes is from Texas, and the Hunt family, they're also from Texas as well. So I don't think they'd be opposed to moving to a place like San Antonio. I'll be honest, that was just a random city I put out there, and I didn't even think of the fact that the quarterback and the ownership group are all from Texas, and that would just bode well for them. Would not shock me one bit. But I mean, how many other markets realistically can you go to and get the same amount of support for this football team? Just because Jackson County taxpayers vote no does not mean they don't support you. It means they don't agree with these upgrades here and having a total of $800 million, $500 million from tax money to be spent on that. Listen, I don't like to tell people how they should vote, how they should think, but can we please just use our brains here? What is this money being put? What good use is coming out of this? Because you're not getting a Super Bowl from it. Not unless you have a roof. And the Chiefs don't have that, nor will they with these upgrades. If you're going to want to spend this month, what did I say for several months? I said, look, if we're going to do anything, it's obviously going to cost you a lot of money. $800 million is a lot of money. $500 million, again, is from taxpayers if it's approved. But I've always said, if we're going to do it, let's do it right. Folks, they're not doing this right. And I really hope Jackson County taxpayers think twice about this. Man, I'll tell you right now, the Chiefs and the Royals, they're working really hard to try to get all of this approved. If you look at some of the amount of money they've spent on this, I think they spent $1 million in trying to get more commercials from this. They have a pastor in a commercial that is endorsing this. I saw the Chiefs retweet from an account. What is the name of this account? Yes on Jackson County. That is the name of the account, which does not have a lot of followers to begin with. So I don't know if that's an indication of anything. They're bragging that they are endorsed by the Independence Chamber of Commerce. I mean, listen, I'm sorry. I don't know what the Independence Chamber of Commerce is, and why should I care that they're endorsing it? You're better off getting an endorsement from Rob Riggle, Eric Stone Street, those guys. Those are the guys you need to get to promote this. And do those guys have an opinion on any of this? I don't know. But to me, I just don't know at the end of the day what is happening here. I'm reading some of your guys' comments right now, and I've been skimming through them. Jacob says they won't be moving. I agree 100%, Jacob. And I don't think the bill will pass either. I've seen a couple of people today. So I posted the picture that the Chiefs shared through a video. I took a screenshot of it. Hollywood Brown was getting a tour of the stadium, and he's on the field at Arrowhead. And there were some people commenting saying, oh, he must be thinking that the stadium needs upgrades. Now, I don't know how many of those people were just joking or how many of those people were being serious. There was a couple of people who were like, yeah, we should vote yes on a stadium upgrades. I'm like, whoa, this is interesting. Because when I spoke out against the upgrade, the renderings that came out and the ideas, I was like, what are we upgrading here? And I was actually surprised a lot of people agreed with me. It's kind of a sin in this town to speak up against the Chiefs on anything because they're so great in every aspect. Well, I should say every aspect because they just had a lot of bad grades in the report card, but they're winning championships. So why are the Chiefs choosing now of all times to do this? Because they're winning so much. It's so easy to get behind the Chiefs right now in anything. Unless the fans don't think emotionally for a moment and, you know, take the bias out and say, look, we're not paying $500 million for these very minimal and underwhelming upgrades. I just don't see it, folks. I really don't see what's so exciting about any of these things here. Antoinette says, why leave? Then they may start losing. Why don't they just tear down and rebuild in the same spot? I mean, that's going to take a while unless the spot where the Royals play, that could be your new. Well, here's the thing, because the vote, I believe, impacts both the Chiefs and the Royals. So if they vote no, the Royals and Chiefs are staying put where they are until their leases are over in 2031. Now, if voters do vote no, then both the Royals and Chiefs are basically saying we'll consider moving. Now, if you vote yes, the Royals can go downtown and the Chiefs can go on with their upgrades. So, this is a marriage here. It's not, you know, you can't just say, okay, well, the Royals can go downtown and the Chiefs, you know, they don't get their upgrades. These two things are going hand in hand together. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe both teams together wanting to do what they want to do with the upgrades and the Royals moving downtown, it's going to cost a total of $2 billion approximately. Listen, I like the Royal Stadium. I think it's beautiful. I think it's nice. I know the team is not very good, but you have spent from 2008 all the way, even up to now, the Royals have been making some upgrades in their stadiums. Obviously, they had the Rival Sports Bar. They had Craft and Draft, I think 2016 or 2017 is when they had it debuted it. I mean, they've made some significant upgrades to the area. Obviously, 2010 was the final product of both stadiums when they went through their renovations. Now, 2010 was 14 years ago. That's not necessarily new, brand new, but it's also not old either. I mean, that skybox view that the Chiefs have, that's been up there for about 13, 14 years now. Again, not new, but it's also not terribly old either. I thought the renovations were necessary in 2010. I really do. Now, it took a couple of years before that. But I thought those things were necessary. I think Kauffman looks a lot nicer now than it did before. And even before, people thought Kauffman was great. Arrowhead, yeah, you had the Hall of Honor, you have the Skybox. I mean, those things are great. And also the practice facility. That got a very nice facelift as well. But these upgrades right now, I don't dig. Not one bit. Jacob says maybe this is why the owner got a bad grade on the report card. The day Clark Hunt was asking for $500 million from taxpayers is the same day that the report card came out. That was not a good day from a PR standpoint if you're Clark Hunt and the Chiefs. Terrible. Terrible from a PR standpoint. Listen, I hate the idea that they're threatening to leave. They're not going to leave. Where are you going? The Chiefs pride themselves so much on having the loudest stadium in the NFL and having this college football type of environment at their football games. Where are you going to go to get that? Seriously, where are you going to go to get that whole thing? Because just 40 miles to the west, you have Allen Fieldhouse, which is considered the loudest arena in college basketball. So you have, you know, a very passionate sports fan base here. No, they may not want your upgrades, and I think this will not pass. But, man, they'll support you if you're good, okay? You've seen it the past 6-7 years, ever since you drafted Patrick Mahomes and have named Brett Veach your GM, because this team has done nothing but win. Yeah, there have been some stumbles and some bruises here, but they've found a way to put a Band-Aid over it and go out there and keep winning games. So, at the end of the day, this football team has got to think about their priorities. You really think spending $800 million on renovations that are not so exciting, you think that's necessary? I don't think so. I really don't. And I really hope Jackson County taxpayers think very carefully about this. All right, guys, that'll do it for this episode of the Chief Zone podcast. My name is Farzin Vasugian. A quick reminder for those of you that missed it at the beginning of the podcast, this is the last podcast we're going to have for 2 weeks. So I'm going to take a break from the podcast. No Red Friday live chats either. If there's breaking news of any kind that comes up, I'll hop on here and do a live stream, but no podcast, no Red Friday live chat. Going to take a break from those. Hey, I got to have an off season as well. Got to relax. I'll tell you right now, Sundays have been very nice for me. I enjoy unwinding and not having to do a lot of all the football stuff. I love it, don't get me wrong, but when the Chiefs, when their seasons are as long as they are, because they keep going to the Super Bowl pretty much every year, it does add up a bit. So I love relaxing on Sundays now. I love to take advantage of all of that. So all right, guys, I'll leave you with all of that. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. If you haven't done so, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Make sure you're following me on Facebook. We've got a new giveaway up and going right now. Check that out if you haven't done so already. Once again, I'm Farzin Vasugian, and I'm out. Take care. Talk to you all in 2 weeks.